This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. Let's take a look at public transport usage. Based on 2018 figures, only around 20% of the Malaysian population used public transport. And needless to say, usage dropped significantly during the COVID-19 pandemic as more people stayed at home and others preferred private transport due to safety reasons.
But even pre-pandemic, the nation has witnessed an average increase of about around 1.2 million new vehicles annually. And as of end 2020, the number of motor vehicles in Malaysia stands at 32.3 million. To put that into perspective, our population in the same year is estimated at 32.4 million. With such a high vehicle ownership ratio in Malaysia, the question is, what has caused Malaysia, and especially Klang Valley, to be so car-centric?
So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Mirza Ikmal Sarifuddin from Transit Malaysia. Transit Malaysia is an NGO that aims to fight for better public transportation and urban planning in the Klang Valley and Malaysia. Mirza, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Now, admittedly, Malaysia's push towards building highways was part of the shift towards greater urban development. But when you think about it, why does urban planning till today focus so much on car-centric policies with the focus on intercity highways? What has been the implications of that?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mirza. The reason why we are still heading this kind of a direction is that it has to do with the societal perception of vicious cycle that we have brought up since from the early days. When back in the day on post-Merdeka, it was the part of the consultants who give it the ideas to the KL government on the new urban growth in the year 1960s and 50s. So with this in mind, we actually accepted the consultant's opinion on the urban, on the car-centric development that we are still clinging on to this day. The second thing was that the developers are at the same time wants to generate more income on the urban development itself. So they are not really realizing that car-centric development is actually unsustainable in the long run, despite that it provides a short-term solution.
Right.
And plus, you add the political action, which it keeps promoting this vicious cycle until today. So that's where we are now.
I see. So, but Mirza, you said, you know, how do you break that vicious cycle? And perhaps, you know, public transport solutions are key. So there are plans for MRT and LRT extensions, and Klang Valley has tried to integrate both private and public transport. Have they tried to do that? Has there been enough thought of connectivity between both modes of transport here?
Yes, we do. But if we consider it to be a private transport system, we are still clinging into the car infrastructure based on the public transport. For example, the parking lots, the massive parking lots on each station, which hamper the accessibility as a micro-mobility user to come to access the station. As I personally had issues accessing one of the LRT stations in PJ. Secondly, is that the LRTs and MRTs that we should strive to be integrated. Also, the urban buses, both private and public buses, need to serve on these routes that they haven't been served before. I would say we are still heading there, but it's still not completed as of now.
Okay, I'm going to ask a general policy question, and this is to encourage the usage of public transport. So what kind of policies do you think we should put in place? And should it be to encourage less car usage? But of course, do we have the political will for such an unpopular move? Because in Malaysia, we just love our vehicles, don't we?
Yeah, that is so true. That is true. But we can able to turn things around. First thing is that we have to streamline the transport plan, private and public transport planning, into all of the urban and spatial planning into a centralized authority and coordination with each local authorities, which means similar to what the LTA is being doing in Singapore, is that you have a centralized authority to strengthening the transport policies that affects the developers. At the same time, you are allowing the small local governments to provide an insight and assistance to the centralized authority to make a map on the service on the population that they can be served with public transport and micro-mobility. So all we need is actually a very solid authority. SPAD is the thing that we are close to having that right now, as we heard that the APAT, SPAD has disbanded into APAT. Therefore, we could use a very strong authority to steer the direction of the transport infrastructure and the urban landscape.
Okay, Mirza, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Mirza Ikmal Sarifuddin from Transit Malaysia, giving us some of his thoughts on why Malaysia's urban policies tend to be very car-centric, and giving some, I suppose, recommendations as well as on how we can shift that.
Well, one recommendation that caught me was the reversal of the plan to basically shift from SPAD to APAT, APAT, right? Because it was initially an independent commission, SPAD. It was established in 2010, but under the Pakatan Harapan government, that basically moved back under the Ministry of Transport, under the Land Public Transport Agency. So you've seen a lot of conversations about how do we try and bring back the Land Public Transport Commission to have more authority and power to drive that integration across the board.
The lack of coordination, I think that was one clear feature that came out in what Mirza was saying. The fact that our public transport is just such a hodgepodge of different companies doing different things with really no coherence to it. It's very hard to get from one end to another of the city using all the different ways that are available. I think there's plenty of complaints there about how it takes 2 hours to travel from Puchong to Kuala Lumpur, for example.
And I think if we rewind further and look back in history, in Malaysia, in terms of car usage and then highway usage, we have to remember in the 1980s, right, when we came up with Proton Saga, the national agenda was to encourage Malaysians to buy vehicles, right? And the pricing was such that there was a huge difference between local vehicles and imported vehicles. And that encouragement to buy local vehicles still persists to today. So on one hand, you have this national auto policy whereby we want to ensure that Proton, Purdue continue to be local champions, and we allow the pricing of those cars to be different from the rest. So it does encourage car usage, ownership.
Yeah, and I wonder if we're just taking even a further step back, whether there's also this whole desire that I need actually a home with land. And as a result, you know, you create this urban sprawl and have all these satellite towns which are far flung from each other, which then necessitate the car. So that, I think, is also one of the issues you have, right? People want their land. They don't want to live in condos, you know, in the past. So I think this is one of the key things that then precipitated a need for a local car industry as well.
Yeah, but at the back of all this, right, is our goals now to be carbon neutral as soon as possible as a nation by 2015. Car usage clearly doesn't help that. So you have many conflicting policies, I think, that makes it all very difficult for us to achieve whatever we want to achieve, whether it's public transport usage and also, of course, our desire to be in line with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals.
A lot of factors going into this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.